Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 103.
The House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The Sergeant at Arms will close the doors. Members and visitors will silence all electronic devices. The prayer will be offered by Representative Shepherd. Members and visitors in the gallery will please stand for the prayer and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you today, God, and we want to praise you and we want to thank you for your very being, for your love, your grace, and your joy that you give each and every one of us at the opportune time. God, we pray today that you'll be with each and every one of us, that you'll give us wisdom and guidance as we deliberate our word today. God, we pray also for each family that's represented here. We pray for each member of the staff in this body. We thank you for all of them and all they contribute to us being here. And it is a blessing that we're all here today. We thank you for allowing us to serve our state and our community. We pray that all that's said and done today and throughout our lives here will bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Torbett is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for July 29th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Torbett moves that the journal for July 29th be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it, and the journal is approved as written. Members, it's the chair's pleasure to introduce the nurse or nurses of the day. We have with us Rebecca Anderson from Wilmington and or Lori Heflin from Wilmington. If you're here, would you stand and let us welcome you to the House? Committee reports, the clerk will read. Representatives Elmore, Horn, and Johnson, chairs of the Committee on Education, are recognized to send forward a committee report. The clerk will read.
Representative Elmore, Horn, and Johnson, Education K-12 Committee Report, Senate Bill 295, NC High School graduation is evidence of residency, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and re-referred to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
The committee substitute is referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. The original bill is placed upon the unfavorable calendar. If the clerk will suspend, what purpose does the gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Beasley, arise?
Inquire the chair. The
gentleman may state his inquiry.
May you suspend Rule 12F for those of us who would like to eat?
Actually, Representative, the chair will suspend Rule 12D. So that you will not starve. The clerk, Representatives Murphy, Dobson, Lambeth, Potts, and White, chairs of the Committee on Health, are recognized to send forward a committee report. The clerk will read.
Representatives Murphy, Dobson, Lambeth, Potts, and White, Health Committee Report, Senate Bill 458, establish post-traumatic stress injury day, favor House Committee substitute, unfavor original bill, and re-refer to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
The House Committee substitute will be referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. The original bill is placed upon the unfavorable calendar. Representative Lewis, Chair of the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House, is recognized to send forward a committee report. The clerk will read.
Representative Lewis, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House Committee Report, Senate Bill 584, Criminal Law Reform, favorable.
The bill is placed upon calendar 36B.
Senate Bill 590, Modify Continuing Education for Real Estate Brokers, favorable.
Bill is placed upon calendar 36B. Members, upon request of the bill sponsor, House Bill 645, without objection, is removed from today's calendar and will be recalendered for Tuesday of next week. Seeing none, so ordered. Calendar, House Bill 391. The clerk will read.
Representative Bell, House Bill 391, a bill to be entitled an act to amend various transportation network company laws and to create new criminal offense relating to transportation network company drivers. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
What purpose does the gentleman from Wayne is recognized for a motion?
I move that we do concur and ask to be recognized to speak on the motion.
The gentleman has moved that the House do concur with the Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 391, and the gentleman has the floor to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, on March 30th, 21-year-old Samantha Josephson, a senior at the University of South Carolina, called Uber around 2 a.m. after being separated from her roommates during a night out in Columbia. 14 hours later, turkey hunters found her body 90 miles from the city. One quick glance in Google and you'll reveal numerous stories about rideshare impersonators that are happening throughout our country. This is a public safety issue that needs to be addressed, and with your green vote today, we will, as a collective body, address this concern. I want to thank you to my staff who have worked diligently to get this bill through. I want to thank our central staff who's worked with us. I want to thank the bipartisan effort in this body and the Senate to put forth good public safety legislation. I also want to thank the stakeholders for coming to the table throughout the entire process and being a part of this. And I'd like to thank my friend, Representative Seth Rose, South Carolina representative, for helping start this initiative that hopefully will spread throughout our country. Members, I ask for your green vote. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House is that the House do concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 391. Those favoring concurrence will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. With 100 voting in the affirmative and none in the negative, the House has voted to concur in the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 391. The bill is ordered enrolled and sent to the governor. Senate Bill 68, the clerk will read.
Senator Brown, Senate Bill 68, a bill to be entitled an act to amend the percentage of non-betterment costs paid by municipalities for relocation of water and sewer lines. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
The gentleman from Onslow, Representative Shepherd, is recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. General Assembly, this bill has been fairly well vetted in transportation, also in rules. It had an amendment placed on it as well that was supported over unanimously. Basically what it does, until this bill is passed, cities that are 100,000 down to 25,000 are having to pay 100% of relocation of water and sewer lines. What this bill does is it changes it where they only pay 50%. At the current time, cities are paying 100% of those costs, and with this bill, it will change it where they will pay 50%, which will help them financially somewhat. The fiscal note on it is basically states that the DOT will be encumbered for $2.5 million, which I don't think is too much when we're looking to help our cities and towns that are 100,000 below. So I appreciate your vote and support. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 68 on its second reading. Those favoring passage will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. With 98 voted in the affirmative and 2 in the negative, Senate Bill 68 has passed its second reading and will, without objection, be read a third time.
The General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, The question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 68 on its third reading. Those favoring the passage will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed will say no. In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. The ayes do have it. And Senate Bill 68 has passed its third reading and will be returned to the Senate. House Bill 231, the clerk will read.
Representatives Setzer, Howard, and Henson, House Bill 231, a bill to be entitled an act to codify the authority of the President of North Carolina Community College System to recognize the Community College System office and to make changes to requirements for local matching funds for the North Carolina Career Coach Program and to appropriate funds for the North Carolina Career Coach Program. General Assembly, North Carolina enacts.
The gentleman from Iredell, Representative Fraley, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill moved through education universities last week in full appropriations. It basically codifies the North Carolina Community College system to reorganize, which we previously had to approve every year. It also was paired with an expansion of the career coaches from an appropriation standpoint, which is important for continued workforce development in North Carolina. I ask for your support.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of the House Committee Substitute to House Bill 231 on its second reading. Those favoring passage will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. With 100 voting in the affirmative and none in the negative, the House Committee Substitute to House Bill 231 has passed its second reading and will, without objection, be read a third time.
The General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of the House Committee Substitute to House Bill 231 on its third reading. Those favoring passage will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed will say no. In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it, and the House Committee Substitute to House Bill 231 has passed its third reading and will be sent to the Senate. Senate Bill 199, the clerk will read.
Senators Britt, Harrington, and Chaudhary, Senate Bill 199, a bill to be entitled Child Sex Abuse Strengthen Laws. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
The gentleman from Alamance, Representative Rydell, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Friends, what you have before you in Senate Bill 199, you'll find some very familiar components and some might be new. I want to go through just parts 1, 2, 3, and 4 of Senate Bill 199 briefly. This is the bill that came over from the Senate unanimously, was PCS'd in two hearings in Judiciary, PCS'd again in Rules, and deals basically with four areas of our laws regarding child sexual abuse. It protects children from online predators. It will expand the duty to report child abuse, and it also increases prosecutorial options when there are delayed reports of juveniles who are victims of violent offenses, sexual offenses, or child abuse. And it also provides, in Section 5, you'll find House Bill 37, and this was our child sexual abuse extension of the statute of limitations. So what I have done in Rules was I amended House Bill 37 that passed 104-10, in this body a few weeks ago, into Senate Bill 199. Senate Bill 199 enjoys the support of the North Carolina Department of Social Services, North Carolina Coalition Against Sexual Assault, Safe Child NC, Prevent Child Abuse NC, NC Alliance of YMCAs, Child Advocacy Centers of NC, North Carolina Sheriff's Association, Connect for Faith, North Carolina Conference of DAs, and the North Carolina Association of Chiefs of Police. I encourage your support, and Mr. Speaker, I know there is at least one amendment, friendly amendment from me, that we can dispose of at your pleasure.
The gentleman from Alamance, Representative Rydell, is recognized to send forward an amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Rydell moves to amend the bill on page 6, lines 31 through 34, by deleting those lines.
The gentleman has the floor and may debate his amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the great support of our House staff in getting the amendment ready so quickly. Simply what this does is remove section 5.5 in the bill, which is a $50,000 appropriation. And talking with some folks, interested stakeholders in the process, the appropriation is no longer needed. So I encourage your green vote on the amendment.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of Amendment 1 sent forward by Representative Rydell. Those favoring passage will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. With 101 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative, Amendment 1 is adopted. What purpose does the gentleman from Henderson, Representative McGrady, arise?
To speak on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor and may debate the bill.
Mr. Speaker, colleagues, my problem with this bill is still with Section 5, and specifically with the change in the statute of limitations, but also with that provision that would revive potential civil claims for a two-year period of time. I'm a lawyer, and I'm all in favor of employing lawyers, but that's what this bill will in part do. It will revive claims that have already exceeded the statute of limitations. And more seriously, frankly, while the intent of the bill is to bring civil actions against child molesters, pedophiles, and I'm all for that, typically somebody that is accused of this is working for a school system, is working for some sort of nonprofit, and when you jump forward, you know, 20 years, go back 20 years for something that happened, the person that you want to have to pay for the civil action is not going to be the one that pays. It's going to be the school system. It's going to be the nonprofit. I wish Representative Stevens were here today. Mr. Speaker, I'm going to object to third reading, if you'll note that, so that she can participate in the debate. But I'm all about what the bill sponsor is wanting to address here. I just believe it's the wrong way to do it. If we can figure out a way to limit the civil liability to the person who caused a child to be molested, I'm all about that. But as a practical matter, lawyers are going to look for whoever has got the deep pocket, and the deep pocket is going to be the ones that are insured. And my concern is the impact on schools, on a range of nonprofits that are out there. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
What purpose does the lady from Orange, Representative Insko, arise?
To send forward an amendment.
The lady is recognized to send forward an amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Insko moves to amend the bill on page 4, lines 14 through 17, by deleting those lines.
The lady has the floor and may debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And members, my concern with this bill is that the definition that we're seeking to put in place of a high-risk offender actually covers almost everyone who's ever offended. I've actually been encouraged this year to see a growing awareness that we don't leave doors open for offenders of many kinds to ever reform. We now know that we keep too many people in prison, and we're starting to put programs in prison that will get people ready to be released back into our community. 98% of the people who are in prison will come back and be our neighbors and shop in our stores. It makes sense to help them rehabilitate. It's fiscally responsible as well as being humanely responsible to let people develop their God-given potential. So this language that we have as a definition is too broad. It covers almost everybody, especially number three, was convicted of an offense against a minor, as that term is defined. That would be, the age of consent in North Carolina is 16. So this could be two 17-year-olds having sex. It could be a 17-year-old girl having sex with her 18 or 19-year-old boyfriend, never to offend again, and have a lifelong punishment. We don't do that with people who get drunk at 20 and kill someone. We don't give them a lifelong punishment. So I would like to remove that number three, and also number four sounds reasonable, a sexually violent offense. But if you actually look up the statute, you'll find that covers a lot of people who really are not sexually violent. It covers, this same statute covers the offenses committed against a minor less than 18. It's that same offense, two 17-year-olds or two teenagers having sex. That also includes solicitation. It includes promoting prostitution of a minor. It includes solicitation or conspiracy to commit any of these offenses, such as taking indecent liberties. Those are all bad. They're all evil, I would say. But do they actually rise to the level of never being excused, never being able to pay the penalty and return to a life that's a normal, productive, tax-paying life? And so I would ask you to vote for this amendment. It would leave in statute the language that's currently used throughout our statutes. We actually have three levels of sexual offender, and those are aggravated offense, a recidivist, and somebody who's been found to be sexually violent predator. Those are the three categories that are used throughout our language. This additional language actually confounds the language in general in our statutes. It's inconsistent with what we've been using before. So I would hope that you'll vote for my amendment and appreciate your consideration. And by the way, I apologize to Representative Rydell for not getting this to you before. And thank you, Mr. Speaker.
What purpose does the gentleman from Alamance, Representative Rydell, arise?
Speak on the amendment.
The gentleman has the floor, may debate the amendment.
Friends, I would remind you that the language that it currently appears in this bill has been vetted through the Senate, through the House, and was chiefly drawn up by our Attorney General's office. So I think the language here is good. The purpose is to protect children, minors, from online high-risk offenders. That's the purpose. So I'd appreciate it if you'd vote down the amendment, vote red on the amendment.
Does the lady from Orange wish to speak a second time? What purpose does the gentleman from Person, Representative Yarborough, arise?
To speak on the amendment.
The gentleman has the floor and may debate the amendment.
I'm also a little bit troubled by what Representative Insko brings up. I've got a personal story along these lines in that a cousin of mine was 18 years old when he got his 15-year-old girlfriend pregnant. She didn't want to report who the dad was, but it was required to in order to get the welfare payments. He was charged, and he is now a sex offender. He's been married to this girl for 7 or 8 years now, raising the child. But whenever they move, postcards go out to tell everyone in the neighborhood that a sex offender has moved into their neighborhood. So we do have to be very careful with these laws and these definitions of sex offender.
Further discussion? Further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of Amendment 2 sent forward by Representative Insko. Those favoring passage will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. With 30 voting in the affirmative and 72 in the negative, the amendment is not adopted. What purpose does the lady from Durham, Representative Moray, arise?
Thank you. Do put forth an amendment.
The lady is recognized to send forward an amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Moray moves to amend the bill on page 2, line 1, by rewriting the line to read.
The lady from Durham has the floor and may debate her amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this is a very important bill, and I appreciate all the work that Representative Riddell put into this. We talked about it a lot, and there are wonderful components to it. The one issue that I have brought up, we brought it up in the Judiciary Committee, is the new provision on Section 2, and it's line 1, that now puts an affirmative duty for anyone who knows or should have reasonably known that a juvenile has been a victim of a violent offense, sexual offense, or misdemeanor child abuse. And what this requirement does, it puts a criminal penalty on anyone who does not immediately report to law enforcement about such knowledge. This is a huge step we're taking. I compare it to what is currently in our law under the Juvenile Code, which requires anyone, including a parent, a guardian, to report to DSS if they know of any juvenile who is neglected, abused, or dependent. Any person is responsible to do that, and once again, if they don't, there could be a Class 1 misdemeanor. My concern with this particular sentence in the bill, and my proposal is to make a very simple exemption of a parent or a legal guardian, that they would not be subjected to a criminal prosecution for failing to report that their child had been abused. They still have to report to DSS. The purpose behind this is that parents know their kids best. Some parents would not want to subject their 3-, 4-, 5-year-old to a criminal proceeding, to be a witness, to be interviewed by law enforcement, and also by social services. They want to protect their child. They want to get therapy. They want to make sure there's no contact. And the truth is, a lot of incidents that comes to court is interfamily. An older sibling, a younger sibling, a first cousin that comes to spend the night. DSS is the proper authority to notify. We're all under a requirement to notify to DSS, and DSS in turn is required to notify law enforcement if they have evidence that there has been abuse. This one provision to eliminate a parent or a legal guardian from criminal prosecution, I think, will help child investigations. It will keep DSS more intimately involved, making investigations with the 48 hours, reporting it to law enforcement. But to not put that burden of a criminal charge on a parent who may not even know because their child hasn't told them, and their child has told their best friend whose mother reported to the police, and the police come knock on the door, "You're under arrest. You didn't report your child's abuse." Well, they didn't know. So I think it takes it just a step too far, and I would encourage you to support this amendment. Let's not criminalize our parents or legal guardians if they report to DSS rather than law enforcement. Thank you.
What purpose does the gentleman from Pitt, Representative Murphy, arise?
Ask Representative Moore a question.
Would the lady from Durham yield to the gentleman from Pitt?
Happy to.
For my edification, when you say it's required by DHHS, what is the penalty if it's not reported?
The same thing. It could be a Class 1 misdemeanor.
So it's a misdemeanor.
Yes, and that's in the Juvenile Code, currently Section Duty to Report 7B301.
Okay.
And then it's also the duty of DSS to report to law enforcement under 7B307.
All right, thank you.
What purpose does the gentleman from Alamance, Representative Riddell, arise?
To speak on the amendment.
The gentleman has the floor, may debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate my friend Representative Moray bringing this to me probably 2 weeks ago. We've had an ongoing discussion about this, so I appreciate the interaction and the sincerity with which you bear this concern about parents. I would just remind the body that this is language that has been very carefully put together by the Attorney General's office and working with the Senate and House members to get the best language we think we can get to up our game on preventing the horrible crime of child sexual abuse. You know, the bill provides for prosecution. It doesn't mandate it. This will be up to the discretion of a local district attorney in the specifics of the case to decide whether or not to prosecute. Also, I would remind members that upwards of one-third of child sexual abuse incidents involve family members, and that's why they go unreported. So I, with due respect to my friend Representative Morey, I would request that you vote no on her amendment.
Further discussion? Further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of Amendment 3 sent forward by Representative Morey. Those favoring adoption of the amendment will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. With 52 voting in the affirmative and 49 in the negative, the amendment is adopted. Further discussion, further debate? What purpose does the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, arise?
To debate the bill.
Lady has the floor, may debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, as Representative Morey said, there's a lot that's good about the bill, but there are some problem areas, and I just wanted to explain why I'll be voting against it. I raised this issue in judiciary and ran an amendment, but it failed, and didn't want to waste y'all's time with running it again. But a couple of years ago, the legislature passed a sex offender bill, and it was struck down by the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, in a unanimous decision, the Packingham decision. It looks like we've got language in this bill that's going to run afoul of that Supreme Court precedent. It relates to access to social networking sites. And as we were reminded in the committee, there are, I think, 21,000 individuals on the sex offender registry, and maybe 30 of those are actual predators. And what we're doing in this bill is limiting any access to Facebook Live, seeing town hall meetings, looking at a newspaper website, the way the bill is drafted. So I'm pretty sure it's probably going to get struck down as unconstitutional. So I'm going to be voting against it. Thank you.
What purpose does the gentleman from Richmond, Representative Brewer, arise?
To see if Representative Rydell will yield for a question.
Would the gentleman from Alamance, Representative Rydell, yield to the gentleman from Richmond?
Yes, sir.
He yields.
On the part of the bill that makes the 10-year statute of limitations for criminal offenses, one of the crimes that is listed is indecent liberties between children, which can only be in juvenile court. Are there sufficient resources in juvenile court to deal potentially with a 23 or 24-year-old that may be coming into court should this be reported towards the end of that 10-year period?
If I understand your question, you're asking me about the resources available in juvenile court, and that is not something I have access to right now, information-wise.
Is that to speak on the bill?
The gentleman has the floor, may debate the bill.
This is one of the areas that I'm concerned about. The bill is a pretty good bill otherwise. We've got the potential, because this crime can only exist between juveniles, so which means it can only be in the purview of the juvenile court. And I'm not sure that we've got the resources, if we have a 10-year statute of limitations, for somebody to be coming in to the juvenile court that we can do anything effectively with right now. And it's something that I hope that as the bill goes forward and negotiations with the Senate can address to deal with. The second part of the bill I worry about is one of the crimes is child abuse, not child sexual abuse. That's covered under a whole collection of felonies, but child abuse. In my 32 years in the court system, I've never seen sexual abuse charged under the misdemeanor offense of child abuse. Child abuse is where you allow the infliction of harm to a child by other than accidental means. It's a different area than sexual abuse. If you have a 10-year statute of limitations, I worry that this is going to be used not for what the intent of this bill is, but to be used as a weapon in a child custody case 6, 7, 8, 9 years down the road. I think it's an unintended consequence that nobody wants to have happen, but needs to have language that's going to address that. The second thing that could happen under that, what I've seen more of with child abuse being charged these days than anything else, is in DWI cases. The driver of the vehicle that has a child in the car is also charged with child abuse. Most of the cases get resolved by that being dismissed because of the punishment for having a child in the car. If you're convicted of DWI, is pretty serious, as it should be. But what this could potentially do, there's a married couple, one of the spouses gets a DWI, pleads guilty or is found guilty, completes all of their punishment, does everything they're expected to do in the court system. 6 years later, these parties split up, and again, somebody goes forward and files charges of child abuse because it's now within a 10-year statute of limitation in order to gain an advantage in a child custody action. These are two areas I worry about, the deep unintended consequences on this. I don't believe either one is what is being sought to be addressed by the bill, which is otherwise good. And I talked to Representative Turner about it. I hope it's something that would go forward to resolve the Senate, that we can look at doing something about that. Thank you.
What purpose does the gentleman from Rowan, Representative Warren, arise?
To ask Representative Rydell a question, if he'll yield.
Would the gentleman from Alamance yield to the gentleman from Rowan?
Yes, indeed.
He yields.
Representative Rydell, I noticed this bill passed out of the Senate 47-0 and then experienced a PCS when it came to the House. Can you explain what the substantive changes were going from a 7-page bill in the Senate to a 6-page bill in the House?
There were, I think, 3 sections that have been removed. One was the extension of the statute of limitations to age 50 with a 1-year look-back period. The second was the establishment of investigative grand juries to get access to more information to prosecute on behalf of victims of child sexual abuse. And the third thing had to do with a component within the IP addresses under the high-risk offenders, online offenders, of keeping them out. It was something that, my understanding is, law enforcement said was no longer needed.
What purpose does the gentleman from Alamance, Representative Rydell, arise?
To wrap it up. Speak a second time on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor, may debate the bill a second time.
Folks, I just want to summarize a few things for you here in the good lengthy debate we've had on some of the matters before you in Senate Bill 199. The child abuse definition cited, it's child abuse that allows a physical injury. That's pretty substantial. Secondly, the concern about who will be sued, why they'll be sued, when they can be sued. You have to understand that the average age of disclosure for child sexual abuse is 52. 52. The age of going to 38 is nowhere near the average age. It will help us pick up a few more victims and give them their day in court, which they deserve. But having an average age of 52, we're missing the mark. This bill has many good components, both in the original SB 199 and in House Bill 37 that was amended into it. I encourage you to get North Carolina back on the side of being serious about preventing child sexual abuse, about helping those who have been victimized by child sexual abuse, and making sure North Carolina is not a haven, a safe harbor for predators. I urge you to vote green. Thank you.
Further discussion? Further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of the House Committee substitute to Senate Bill 199 on its second reading. Those in favor of passage will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. With 91 voting in the affirmative and 9 in the negative, The House Committee substitute of Senate Bill 199 is passed its second reading. With objection having been raised, it will remain on the calendar. What purpose does the lady from Davie, Representative Howard, arise? What purpose does the gentleman from Chatham, Representative Reeves, arise?
To be recorded as a no on Amendment 2, Senate Bill 199.
The gentleman will be recorded as having voted no on Amendment 2 for Senate Bill 199. What purpose does the gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, arise?
Same, to be recorded as no on Amendment 2 of Senate Bill 199.
The gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, will be recorded as having voted no on Amendment 2 offered on Senate Bill 199. Members, the chair appoints the following conferees to Senate Bill 438, the Excellent Public Schools Act of 2019. Speaker Moore, Chair, Representatives Elmore, Johnson, and Horn. The Senate will be so notified. Notices and announcements. What purpose does the gentleman from Rowan, Representative Warren, arise?
Just to make an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor and may make his announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just for planning purposes, members of the State and Local Government Committee, there will be a meeting a week from tomorrow of the State and Local Government Committee. Thank you.
What purpose does the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Cunningham, arise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Can I respond to Representative Warren? Representative Warren.
Does the lady wish to make an announcement or ask a question?
A moment of personal privilege.
The lady may speak up to 3 minutes to a point of privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Warren, we're just trying to stay in the moment over here. Don't take us in the next week yet.
Further notices or announcements? Representative Warren, what purpose does the gentleman rise?
To ask Representative Cunningham a question.
Does the lady yield in the moment?
Yes, I do, in the moment.
Representative Cunningham, can I deduct from your comment that you would not be interested in attending a meeting with Representative Johnson and I to form a bipartisan Secret Santa program?
Representative Warren, Mr. Speaker, may I respond? I will be interested. It might not be the Secret Santa, but we can find something. Thank you.
What purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Floyd, arise?
Inquiry to Chair, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman may state his inquiry.
Two inquiries, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman may state the first inquiry.
Is Ruth going to meet tomorrow?
Representative Floyd, I do not know if rules will meet tomorrow or not. At this point, I do not think so, but I will let you know as soon as I know.
Second question, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman's recognized.
What time will this distinguished chamber meet tomorrow?
5:00.
Thank you, sir.
What purpose does the gentleman from Duplin, Representative Dixon, arise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor, may make his announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Tomorrow at 1 p.m. and 6:43, the House Committee on Agriculture will meet to consider the restoration of the North Carolina Milk Commission.
What purpose does the gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Alexander, arise?
Mr. Speaker, could you look forward to Thursday and give us some indication of what might be transpiring?
Representative, the time for session has not been set yet. The chair would anticipate a morning session, but would need to have some leeway to confer with Speaker Moore before I could give you a definitive reply to that. What purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson, arise?
For a motion pertaining to the day's calendar.
The gentleman may state his motion.
Mr. Speaker, I would make a motion that House Bill 966 which is on today's calendar but has not been heard, be moved from the calendar and rescheduled next Tuesday. And if I could be heard on the motion.
Representative Jackson, the gentleman is not recognized for that purpose.
Mr. Speaker, point of order.
The gentleman from Wake, Representative Martin, may speak to a point of order.
Mr. Speaker, in Mason Section 156, which is incorporated in our rules, it notes that it is your duty as the presiding officer to accept or to entertain any proper motion whenever it is in order. It seems to me that Leader Jackson's motion was in order, and therefore it is your duty to accept it.
Then let us accept a motion. The gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House to now adjourn to Wednesday, July 31st, to reconvene at 5 p.m., subject to standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1.
The gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, is moved, seconded by Representative Bale, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Wednesday, July 31st at 5 o'clock p.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1. All in favor of that motion will say aye.
Aye.
All opposed will say no. The ayes.
No.
The House stands adjourned.
On motion of the chair, Senate Bill 380, short title DNCR, Add New Trails and Various Changes, is withdrawn from the Committee on Rules Counter Operations. House re-referred to the Committee on Agriculture, and a serial referral to the Committee on Rules is added. On motion of the chair, House Bill 822, short title Comprehensive Behavioral Health Plan, is withdrawn from the Committee on Health and recommitted to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Representative Lewis is recognized to send forth a committee report for the Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House Committee. Senate Bill 270, Durham Deannexation, favorable House Committee sub, unfavorable original bill. Original bill is placed on the unfavorable calendar. The changes within the House Committee substitute are material constituting first reading, and Senate Bill 270 is calendar pursuant to Rule 36B. House Bill 848, RV Dealer Regulation, favorable comm sub number 2, unfavorable committee sub number 1. Committee sub number 1 placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas committee substitute number 2 for House Bill 848, calendar 36B. Representative Lewis is recognized to send forth an additional committee report for the Rules, Calendar, and Operations House Committee. Senate Bill 356, Surplus Property Proceeds to Parks and Water, favorable House Committee sub number 2, unfavorable House Committee sub number 1. House Committee sub number 1 placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas House Committee substitute number 2 for Senate Bill 356, calendar 36B. Representative Murphy, Dobson, Lambeth, Potts, and White are recognized to send forth a Health Committee report. Senate Bill 537, Established New Payment Methodology, ACHS. Favorable House Committee sub, unfavorable original bill, and re-referred. Original bill placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas the House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 537 is re-referred to the Committee on Rules, Counter Operations of the House.